Jason has been leading us through this series, Timothy, Paul's words to Timothy, and it's been so encouraging and so beautiful. But he said, man, this is going to be a standalone message. You get to talk about whatever you'd like, and it's beautiful, and I'm so glad I get to do this. And he said, talk a little bit about just what the Lord's doing in your life, in your heart, in your ministry. What's the Lord showing you lately? What's the Lord teaching you? And so, you know, Stephanie and I have this incredible privilege to come alongside so many people and just sort of make a space for people to come, especially ministry guys and gals, ministry couples or first responders or their family or military families who just kind of need a place to unpack some of the big rocks they've been carrying around and just unload a little bit and find a quiet place, a place of peace, where we can just say something like, hey, tell me your story. Tell me what brought you here. You know, and really it's what you, if you've been around me very long, you've heard me say it so many times, meeting people where they are, helping them to become fully devoted followers of Christ. But in order to meet people where they are, here's what I think God's been saying to me lately. In order to meet people where they are, you got to kind of first know where you are. Does that make sense? And so in an effort to know where you are, I've been kind of working on what I'm calling a geolocator of the soul. You know, like in the mall, when you got the big map and it says, you are here. Well, in order to meet people where they are, you kind of got to know where you are. And so just been kind of trying to unpack that with the Lord, just been trying to kind of unpack that, even in our men's group on Wednesday nights and getting ready to go to boot camp and that kind of thing. And just saying, guys, let's just invite the Lord to first show us, you know, how he sees us so that we can meet each other, right? And so anyway, that's been a really big deal. And there are a couple of questions I would love for you to just kind of go along with me on for the next 30 minutes or so. And so for one, what are the measures that matter? So like if you were to be driving down the road and you're looking at your dashboard, what are the gauges that you're paying attention to? I mean, what are you watching and keeping an eye on so that you can know? Are we good to go? Are we good for the trip? Do we need to pull over? Do we need to find some help? What's, you know, just how are things, right? With the engine, how are things with the tires and all the rest? You know, what are the measures that matter? And how can I know if I'm okay? People ask Jesus that question all the time. Now, they didn't say it that way. They didn't say, how can I know if I'm okay? But they would ask Jesus things like, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Right? How can I know I'm okay? I'm trying to do all the right things. How can I know if I've done enough? How can I know if I've been enough? How can I know if I've given enough? How can I know if I showed up enough? How can I know if I'm okay? What do I have to do? And then this one, which is kind of the question behind the question, which is, what if I don't feel okay? What if I've done all the right things and I've showed up in all the right places and I've showed up with the proper frequency? What if I've done everything I'm supposed to do to be okay, but I still don't feel okay in my soul? And see, I think that is a question that drives an awful lot of people. Because I think we get really, really good at showing up, and maybe we're not even sure what the heart is behind it. So that scripture that Amanda just read to us, I want to revisit it with you and point a couple things out, and then we'll go from there, because I think you'll find the measures that matter. I think you'll find the gauges to pay attention to. And so it's in Mark chapter 12, if you want to find it or write it down so that you can find it later. But it's one of those times. It's one of those times. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. And he was noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer. And he asked them, of all the commandments, which is the most important? Now, that's not an uncommon question in Jesus' day. You get a traveling rabbi, he passes through, and you want to know what makes you tick, man. What makes your message different from the other guy's message? What makes you unique? What makes you you? And different rabbis might have different answers to that. Jesus pulls it out. He's ready with an answer. The most important one, Jesus says, is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you want to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Now, by the way, Mark is not the only gospel writer who tells this story. In fact, they all tell this story one way or another, and each one of them tells it just a little bit differently. Now, I happen to pick Mark's telling of it because Mark got it straight from Peter, and Peter was there when Jesus said it. And I think it gives us a really good insight into how to kind of keep track of what's going on the inside of you, how to locate your own soul. Love the Lord your God, all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. That's a whole nother sermon. There's no commandment greater than these. Now, I love this because in verse 22, the guy says, well said, teacher. What kind of chutzpah does it take, right? To look at the eternal one, right? And say, way to go, champ. Good answer. Good one. Keep going with that. Well said, teacher, the man replied. You're right in saying that God is one and there's no other but him. To love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, with all your strength, to love your neighbors yourself, more important than all the burnt offerings and sacrifice. And when Jesus saw this, verse 34, that he had answered him wisely, Jesus said to the man, you are not far from the kingdom of God. And on the one hand, that's a good word. But I would hate to stand before Jesus someday and have Jesus' verdict over my life. But you know what, buddy? You are not far from the kingdom of God. You're close. Heartbreakingly close. You are not far from the kingdom of God. So what are the measures that matter? How can you know if you're okay? And what if you don't feel okay? Maybe it's been a long time since you've felt okay with Jesus. Now, I know your feelings are not the ultimate judge, right? But they're one of the measures that matter. So I want us to unpack these together. Jesus didn't come up with this on his own, by the way, just so you know. This was not an off-the-cuff thing. Jesus simply answered the same way Moses had answered centuries before, right? As he's leading the people out of the Egypt into the wilderness onto the promised land. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God, all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your... Teach this to your kids. Show it to your kids as you get up, as you sit down, as you walk along the way. This is important. This matters. And when Jesus picks it up and you know, what's the most important? What's the greatest commandment? Jesus picks it up. He says, here you go. Here you go. There's lots of other ways you can break it down. But if you're just looking at the gauges on the dashboard, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. Now, I think those are the four just kind of key components of worship, right? I mean, you worship with sincerity. You worship from the core of who you are. You worship, you know, with integrity, right? Not making this stuff up, not pretending to be somebody you're not. You worship that way. You engage your mind in worship. You know, you move from the team that leads us to some time in the Word. You worship with your mind. You worship with your strength, even as you give your money, all the rest of it, and you serve. You know, these are the four fronts of worship. But I'm convinced that they're also... And we see this, Steph and I see this as we get the opportunity to sit down with people and unpack their stories. We see they're not only the forefronts of worship, but they're the battlefields of spiritual warfare. I mean, where does the enemy attack you? The enemy attacks you in your heart. Some of you are here today with wounded hearts. The enemy attacks you in your soul. The enemy attacks you. The enemy attacks you on the battlefield of your mind. And the enemy attacks you in your physicality, in your physical strength. This is where you meet the world, right? Here's what I know. If you're broke and you don't know where your next payment is going to come from, if you're in the middle of a government freeze and you're not sure if you're going to get a paycheck, when you're in the middle of waiting for the next job interview to come along, When you find yourself, it's hard to be spiritual in those moments, isn't it? Isn't it? When you find yourself engaged in those battlefields, those are the forefronts of worship, but they're also the forefronts of warfare. And that's why I think it's worth checking those gauges. So let's talk about it for a minute. When we talk about the heart, what are we talking about? You know this. We're not just talking about that organ that's pumping in your chest. You go to a cardiologist when you have a heart trouble, right? It's talking about something much more fundamental, much more at the core, right? It's who you are at the core of who you are. It's where you are at the dead center of your life. And dead center is a key phrase. Because apart from Jesus, the human heart, we've seen it in Scripture, desperately wicked, where there dwells no good thing. It's out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaks. And when you hear somebody spewing hate, when you hear somebody spewing condemnation, you got to wonder, what's going on in your heart? That's what's coming out of your mouth, right? Right? It's the dead center of who you are. And God has set eternity in our hearts. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. He's put something in your heart, in my heart, that longs for the what's next, that longs for the what's more, that longs for the what's deeper, what's wider. What's going on the inside of me? He set eternity in our hearts so that we would hunger for him. Apart from Christ, desperately wicked, but in Christ, a new creation. Let me read you this. It comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It says, if anyone is in Christ, they're a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. He says, look, from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view, though we once regarded Christ this way. Instead, we want to look at their heart. We want to look at their heart and say, what's going on with your heart? What have you done with your heart? If anyone is in Christ, they're a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. He says in Ezekiel, I'll give you a new heart and I'll put a new spirit in you. I'll take your heart of stone. We've known some people with hearts of stone. Haven't you? You may be here today and honestly, there's kind of a plaque buildup on the arteries around your heart. I know I'm mixing my metaphors now, but you know what I'm talking about. Your heart gets a little crusty when you've been burned a few times. Your heart gets kind of seized up a little bit, you know, when you're caught up in fear or shame. So what's going on with your heart? Here's what I think. I think that hearts are like thumbs. Everybody's got one. Unless you've had some weird, unfortunate accident, right? But I mean, everybody's got one, and essentially it's this. You're either in Christ or you're not in Christ, and a heart apart from Christ is pretty much all the same. You've seen one, you've seen them all. And there's something broken about a heart apart from Christ. There's something longing, there's something looking, but there's something broken about a heart apart from Christ. But in Christ, there's a new creation going on. There's a new thing that only God can do and only God can explain it. In one place, Paul says, here's what you need to do. You need to take what God has done on the inside of you and work out that salvation with fear and trembling. Let what God has changed on the inside of you work its way all the way out to the surface. You've known people, haven't you? I know I have, who've had a genuine encounter with Christ. They've also got some addictions that need to be broken. They've had a genuine encounter with Christ, but they've also had some really hard, adverse experiences that have made it hard for them to see through that filter, to see through the fog, to see through the silty water, to actually let what God has done on the inside work its way out. And it's a process. Sometimes, churchy word, discipleship, that's what we call it. The process of becoming who God has created you to be, right? So you meet people where they are to help them become fully devoted followers of Christ. Everybody's got a thumb, but everybody's thumbprint is different. And that's the difference between the heart and the soul, the psuche, the psyche, Everybody's is different. And whether you're looking at an Enneagram report or a Myers-Briggs test, or whether you're sitting down with, you know, golden retrievers and otters and lions, everybody's personality is a little different. And yet everybody's personality has a certain amount of predictability that can help you understand what you've had to learn in order to cope with the life that you've been dealt. And that's where the psyche, the soul, begins to become a battlefield for what Christ has done on the inside of you. And you begin to work your way out with that. And it's a process. It's an osmosis kind of a process. And you can help that happen through the work of your mind. The work of your mind, which do we all know that that is a battlefield? I hope you know it. Because if you don't know that your mind is a battlefield, you won't know to protect it. If you don't know that your mind is a battlefield, you won't put up any fences around what you let into your mind. The things you see, the things you hear, the things that you take in and allow to take root. Man, the mind is a battlefield. And there's this line in Philippians chapter 2. It says, it is God who is at work in you both to will and to do according to his good pleasure. Have you ever had a time in your life when you had the want to, you just didn't have the follow through? Well, that want to, that's a gift from the Lord. That is where the dianoia, the mind, is at work. Paul said it. He said, I don't understand what's going on with me. I want to do the right thing. I'm just having a hard time executing on it, right? And if that was true for Paul, how much more true is it for us all these years and generations removed? But there is something I want to point out to you right there in the middle, the dianoia versus the metanoia. I feel really smart when I say things like that. Those are the Greek words for it. It's the mind, but it goes beyond the dianoia, the thinking it through, right? That's when you're thinking it through. Metanoia is the word that gets translated in the New Testament as repentance. When you've thought it through and you kind of come to an awareness, wait a minute, I need to change. The things I've been doing, the things I've been thinking, the direction I've been headed, it's a dead end. I need to turn around and go in the other direction. And the difference between the dianoia, thinking it through, and the metanoia, changing your heart and going in the other direction, precious ones, that is life. That is life. And this is one of those battlefields of the mind. It is God who is at work in you. And it is my place, it is your place to submit my mind, my will to the Lord. How's it going? How's it going in the battlefield of your mind? And then the strength part, this is the part that interfaces with the external world. This is the part where you show up, right? Whether you're showing up at your kid's school, or whether you're showing up here at church, or you're showing up in your relationships, you know, with your spouse, here's what I think. I think that through the process of your soul, your sort of what's going on in your psyche and in your mind, you learn how to show up in different places. And some of us get really good at showing up and knowing how to show up in different settings. But sometimes, I was talking with a friend earlier who just said, I don't even know who I am anymore. Because some of us get really good at showing up according to how we think we're supposed to show up at a given time with a given group of people in a given setting. And if you're not careful, when you're watching the gauges, right? When you're watching the measures that matter, you may have this aha moment that says, wait a minute, am I really even being my true self right now? Am I living out of a true heart right now? Am I acting and speaking what I actually believe? Or am I just putting on an act for the people in front of me? Man, That's the kind of thing that's worth talking about with somebody, whether it's a spiritual friend or honestly, whether it's a therapist who knows Jesus as well. I'm just saying, you got to get to the bottom of this stuff. You got to watch those gauges. If you're going to have this geolocator, if you're going to figure out where's my soul, where's my heart right now, these are the measures because frankly, I said it before and I'll say it again. These things will keep you from hearing from Jesus. I mean, if you're so caught up in the struggles and the cares of this world, remember how Jesus talked about the farmer that sows the seed and it gets choked out with the cares of this world? That's where you're saying your heart, soul, mind, and strength, that's where you interface with the world. If you're out of strength, you're gonna have a hard time showing up in worship. If you're wondering how you're going to pay the bills, you're going to have a hard time. You're going to have a hard time singing happy songs about Jesus. These are not just matters of worship. They are matters of assault in your soul. And so I want us to take some time, if we could. Bryce, would you join me? I want us to take some time and look around on the inside just a little bit. One of the first questions I love to ask people when they come out to the farm and sit down with Steph and me, one of the first questions I want to ask them is, how'd you come to know Jesus in the first place? And what I'm really trying to do, I'm trying to get at, where's your heart? Where's your heart? What's your heart filled with? Who lives in your heart? Because I've met so many people who, when I ask them that question, how'd you come to know Jesus in the first place? They'll say, well, I've just always kind of known Jesus. I was raised in a home and I was brought to church and I've just always known Jesus. I just want to press a little bit with the question, something along the lines of, was there a time when that got put to the test? Was there a time when the rubber kind of met the road? I know there was for me. I mean, I had asked Jesus in my heart when I was like, kindergarten kid. I was in the baptistry. I wasn't even tall enough for the baptistry. I had to stand on a folding chair, when I was baptized the first time. But when I hit adolescence, what I found was that my 5-year-old's understanding of God wasn't big enough for the mess that my adolescent heart was becoming. Does that ring any bells for anybody else? I mean, I'd always known about Jesus, but did I know Jesus? And I don't know if you're like me. I mean, you kind of find yourself with that knowing of Jesus being put to the test at different places along in different seasons of your life, right? I mean, praise God. Praise God for the young ones that come to know Jesus because there was a teacher in Kidmen who loved them enough to tell them about Jesus. And in the midst of hearing one of those stories of the faith, a light came on. I want to know Jesus. I want to give my heart to Jesus. Praise God for every time we see that light come on. And that heart needs to be tended as those years unfold. Can I get an amen? Or the teenager who in desperation says, I give up. And that I give up can go in a couple of different directions, right? That I give up can go with a surrender to Jesus, or that I give up can go with a surrender to hopelessness. And I know some of you enough to know some of you have lived a season in hopelessness. How's your heart? How's your heart? How's it going with your heart? Is Jesus in there? Is Jesus in there? And if Jesus is in there, have you been in touch with him lately? Because I know, you can get a long way from your heart. Maybe today's the day to come back. How's it going in your soul? How's it going in your soul? Has the world told you that you're too much? Has the world told you that your way in the world is wrong? How's it going with your soul? Because here's something you need to know. God made you on purpose. God made you a certain way. Now, that's not a way to say, I'm just me. No. There's discipleship that needs to happen. There's development that needs to happen. But God made you, you. Your fingerprints are different than mine, and mine are different from yours. And when we come together under Christ and we bring our souls and ourselves, something beautiful happens. Something beautiful happens. But if you're hiding from how God made you, you may get really out of touch with your heart. How are things going in your soul? How are things going on the battlefield of your mind? How are things going on the battlefield of your mind? Even while I've been talking, just in these last 25 minutes or so, your mind may have gone in 100 different directions at 100 miles an hour. Do you have a hard time quieting your mind? Did you know some of that? Some of that might be spiritual warfare for you to just come to the Lord with a heart that says, God, in Jesus' name, would you quiet my mind? God, would you speak to my soul? God, would you awaken my heart? How are things going? How are things going with your strength, your interface with the world? I mean, maybe it's a doctor's diagnosis. Maybe it's a judge's verdict. Maybe it's the pink slip that came and you don't know where your next job is going to be. Because if that's you, you might have a hard time hearing from God if you don't know how to manage what's coming next in your world. So let's pray a minute. Let's all bow our heads and close our eyes. And even if you're one of those people that when the preacher says, bow your heads and close your eyes, you keep looking around, please don't right now. Just go with me on this, okay? Let's start from the outside and work our way in for a minute. Who here has got a crisis where they interface with the world, whether it's money, whether it's disease, whether it's a relational crisis? If you just don't even look up at me, just nobody's looking. I promise nobody's looking. If you're looking, don't look. Just raise your hand if that's you. Yeah. So Lord, in Jesus' name, we just come now and say, God, you are the provider. You are the one who has brought us this far. And you said, Lord, that you would meet all of our needs according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. While your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, maybe here's a question you might want to ask the Lord. God, what do you want to say to me about this? About this thing, whatever it is that's hanging over your head, whatever it is that's coloring your vision. God, what do you want to say to me about this? And then just listen for a minute. Maybe God would say something like, trust me. And there's something that wells up in your mind that says, when I trust, I get burned. And then you get the opportunity to say, Lord, in Jesus' name, I just want to take that thought back to you. I want to trust you. I want to believe you. God, what do you want to say to me? While your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, who's struggling on the battlefield of the mind? There are things, there are compulsions, there are things that you can't seem to get control of. Just like the Apostle Paul, I don't know why I'm doing what I'm doing. I don't know why my life is looking the way it's looking. And it just feels like your mind is going, it's just splintered. It's going in 100 directions. Lord, in Jesus' name, would you quiet the mind of my brothers and my sisters and me? Lord, in Jesus' name, would you speak peace to the minds of your sons and your daughters. Lord, in Jesus' name, would you breathe across us? Father, in Jesus' name, that we might cast our care on you, Lord, that we might wait before you. Peace, peace of mind. And while your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, you may not know this, but in the question of how's it going in your soul, God made you. God made you. And God wants you to be able to worship him with the integrity of how he made you. Whether you're an introvert or an extrovert, you know, whether you're analytical or you're a feeling, however it is, how would that look if you were to simply say, God, I give you me. While your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, Jesus, would you come into my heart right now? I've known about you for so long. And I've even known you at various points and places. Oh, but Father. Oh, but Jesus. Oh, but Holy Spirit. I need you. I need you now. I need you here. I need you personally. I need you inside of me. And while your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, guys, that kind of prayer and that kind of heart is the direction of moving toward Jesus, becoming that fully devoted follower.